Amen. Well, All Saints Day can be in some ways a confusing day, I think. Some people wonder, who are the saints? If you don't live in New Orleans, you say, you don't know who they are. As Lutherans, though, we know that in the most important sense, those who are baptized and confess the name of Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior are holy. Holy, that's what the saints means, the holy ones. If you've been baptized and you believe in Jesus Christ, you're declared holy in His sight. So you're a saint. All of us Christians are saints. And then there could be confusion about what it means to be blessed in the gospel reading today. Blessed are these guys and those guys and whoever, it seems like Jesus is saying. And it's like, what? Who's blessed? And it seems like if you're into social media, it seems like those people who have those perfect Facebook pages, you know, everything's goodness and beauty and light on their Facebook page. People only publish their cool stuff, you know. Those must be the blessed people. Hashtag blessed. It's trending today, I'm sure. Anyway. So today, when we think, though, about our beloved fellow Christians who have died, and we start to wonder, are they more blessed than we are? And if they are, why do we mourn? Why do we mourn for them? And why does the Bible teach us that death is the final enemy and that Christ will only fully overcome that enemy on the last day when He returns in glory and reverses death? I believe in the resurrection of the body, we say. Well, our King Jesus teaches us an amazing thing today in today's gospel reading. To be sure, the Beatitudes, as He said, the blessed, the Beatitudes don't answer all the questions that we might have about the saints. They don't answer all the questions we might have about eternity. But Jesus has some very, very good news for us on All Saints Sunday. And every day as we live as His saints, as God's holy people. Sadly, it's good news that a lot of people are going to reject. But the good news that we need to hear is from our King Jesus. And certainly on this All Saints Day, we need to hear this good news from King Jesus. Jesus has not come to be our cheerleader. Jesus has not come to be our helper, our life coach. He's come to be our King. And that means He's come to rule over the world and over us. Not in kind of a dominating, power-crunching way as a tyrant. But because you and I fail at governing ourselves. Because we cannot be our own kings. So this week, I don't know if you've heard, Tuesday, there's going to be something that we call an election in our country. And, you know, Americans, we have the blessing. You could say, blessed are the Americans, for they get to hold elections. Sometimes we wonder if that's a blessing or a curse. That's supposed to be a joke. Maybe it shouldn't be. But we think of ourselves as self-governed. But really, you know, how do we do with that? We vote, you know, you vote this person in or you vote that person in. Does it really work out so well for us? If we're self-governed, are we doing very well? In your own life, you know, how are you doing on self-control? Self-control. We want to be kings. We want to be these little kings who are kings over our own lives or over the lives of our spouse or our children or our parents and tell them what to do. We want to be our own little kings. And really, we're more like puppets of the king of this world, Satan. So we need a king. We need a good king. We need a king because we're unable to handle it ourselves. We're not capable of governing our lives in the way that God has designed them to be. We fail at it all the time. And in the Bible, it calls Jesus many things. You know, as we look towards the Christmas season, we hear a lot of the names for Jesus: Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Prince of Peace. But today, we should think of Him especially as our King. So how does our King Jesus want us to think about ourselves? And more importantly, how does He want us to prepare ourselves for His blessing? Listen to what He says. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Poor in spirit. Think of poverty. Poverty of the spirit. Having no resources whatsoever to live the way God would like you to live. Having no resources of yourself to live the way you would like yourself to live. That's poor in spirit. And mourning. Mourning for someone who we love, who's departed. Mourning for someone who's died. Mourning because in this world we live in a broken world where it ends in death. We have death all around us. If you haven't faced it yet, you will. It's a broken world. Mourning, Jesus says. Blessed are the mourning. And then He says, blessed are the meek. That's the powerless. That's us. Because we can't fix it. If you've ever been to a funeral, you can't fix it. You see someone there who's grieving. And you just wish if there was only something I could say that would make it all better. But guess what? Nothing you say will make it all better. You can't bring the person they loved back to life. God can, and He does, but you can't. That's the brokenness of this world and everything that leads up to it that's short of death. That's the brokenness of this world. What you can do at a funeral is point to the promises of Christ, who can do something about it and does do something about it and has done something about it. But you and me, we can't fix it. One of the reasons it hurts. And if you come up later and you place a candle here in memory of someone who you love, who's departed in the faith, you're going to miss them. And I can't fix that. So we need some good news. So brothers and sisters in Christ, we are longing for things to be put right. And Jesus says, they're going to be. He says, you're going to suffer in this life. You're going to be persecuted for my sake. If you're a believer in me, you're going to be persecuted. And blessed are you when other people revile you, because they're going to. So we need some good news. Brothers and sisters in Christ, this is good news that we don't naturally want, because we don't want to be the ones who are mourning. We don't want to be the ones who are meek. We don't want to be the ones who are persecuted. We don't want to be the ones who are poor in spirit. Our nature is to want to be capable. Our nature is to want to be the ones who can fix things when everything goes wrong. Our nature is to be the ones who want to be in control. And Jesus will have none of it. So he simply says, repent. Repent and admit how things are, that you are powerless. And listen to the good news from the King. And this is the good news. Listen to it. You have nothing. Jesus knows it. He's going to give you everything you need. He came to heal the sick, cast out demons, and to forgive sin. If you are poor in spirit because you're a sinner like me, He's going to give you forgiveness. The riches of grace. That's what He gives to you. Not because you've earned it, but because He loves you and He gives it to you. And we look at death. We look at mourning. Jesus faces death. He takes it upon Himself. He takes our death upon Himself as He goes to the cross. All our sins are laid on Him and He takes them to the cross for us. He bears our death. And then He rises again to give you and me life. Eternal life. Life that you were created never to die. You were created never to be sick. Because of sin, we fell into that. He's going to raise you again out of that. That's your hope. That is your promise. That is the good news in Jesus Christ our Lord. Live in that hope. And He gives you a wonderful promise of how it's going to be on the last day. All you who are holy, whose hearts are cleansed by believing in Him as a Savior and being baptized. In His mercy, He comes to you and He fills you with His love. He fills you with so much love that your love is overflowing. You can't hold it all. And it spills out on those around you in ways that I've seen in all of you. Mercy and love and compassion for one another and for people you don't even know. I've seen it in you. This is Christ's blessing as you live in your baptism. And even when the opposition comes, and Jesus says they will come, still we are blessed with the gifts that God has given us. Despite all that, in fact, because of it, God says, I'm going to bless you so much that you can stand in front of those who persecute you and revile you, and it doesn't matter. I'm going to fill you with that much love. There's so much love flowing out of you from your baptism. It's like water putting out every fire that's being cast against you. That's how much God loves you. In our Lord Jesus Christ. So you, as you come forward, and if you light a candle in remembrance of a departed loved one, you mourn the loss of our dear Christian friends. On All Saints Day, it's good, right, and salutary to mourn those who you miss. That's fine. But our mourning is filled with hope. Hope of what Christ has done, what Christ is doing and what Christ is going to do on the last day. Live in that hope. Rejoice in that hope. Mourn in that hope. Because God has prepared that in advance for you through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Verse 7 of that last hymn we sang says, "But lo, there breaks a yet more glorious day. The saints triumphant rise in bright array. The King of glory, the King Jesus, passes on his way. Alleluia." Lord has it all in hand for you through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters in Christ, for you and all the saints, this is the good news that we need to hear from our King Jesus. In his name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.